Here are the ingredients a little new school. Some soul. Preparations.
I ain't talking about no dollars. Preparations. And my people want their power. Preparations.
A little R&B.
There's a limit to my love.
There's a limit. Mm-hmm.
There's a limit to my aching heart. How did I ever?
And a taste of old school. On moving. You're listening to Ujima 98 FM.
Hi, I'm Meg Cox and I'm a sustainable fashion stylist and runway event organiser.
And I'm Mary Miner, a singer, songwriter and performer, and you're listening to the Persona Power podcast.
The Persona Power podcast is about using sustainable fashion and self-care as tools to step into your confidence, protect your mental health and strengthen your identity.
Because when you know who you are, you can thrive anywhere, on stage, online, and in everyday life.
Hello, and welcome to the Persona Power podcast with me, Mary Miner. Now, I am here on my own today because Meg is not well, bless her. So it's quite interesting because I have turned up and I thought to myself, what do I do? She's not here. I don't have a plan of what to do on my own. This isn't something that I had a contingency plan for. And so I thought, what about I just come and give it a go on my own and just wing it? Because sometimes I think we are presented with opportunities to try things in a different way. And quite often we will shy away from doing those things and back out because it feels scary. But I said to myself, no, why don't I just give it a go? Because what's the worst that can happen? I don't come up with any good content and I decide that I'm not going to play it on air. That is probably the worst that could happen. It is a vulnerable thing to try. But over the last year, my life has really become about just deciding what I'm going to do and then going for it and just feeling the fear, feeling the anxiety, feeling that trepidation of doing things differently, but still just going for it. So today, I'm going to talk about how I have been winging it over the last year, well, throughout my life, in fact, but particularly over the last year where a lot has changed in my life and I feel like I've achieved a lot. But it wasn't always born out of perfect plans. And actually, the perfect plan that I had for last year didn't quite manifest. But it doesn't matter because things have manifested anyway that have been good. And as a creative, I feel like this is a pertinent topic to talk about on the Persona Power podcast because I often talk about creative identity and we often talk about things like having fear and how we overcome obstacles. And I think as a creative, and I think it's the same for lots of creatives, that if we want to achieve stuff, because exposing ourselves and being out there and being seen is a vulnerable place to be. However, we are also aware that if we want to grow, that we have to just do what we have to do and we just have to do it anyway. So that's kind of where I'm coming from this morning. Well, this afternoon, by the time you hear this. So let me just talk you through my last year because it was a year of lots of achievement and lots of change. And one of the main things that I started last year was I became a host of a jazz event. And it was an idea that was born very suddenly, really, for me, because I'd been going to different events and different open mic nights for jazz. Not really open mic nights, open mic nights and then jazz jams, which is slightly different, where quite often at jazz jams you get a lot of musicians turning up, and as a vocalist I'd turn up and I'd sometimes get to perform a song, sometimes two songs. And that was a great experience for me, and I used to really enjoy it. But I also would find myself sitting there thinking, hang on a minute, these musicians, they get to get up and they get to stay up for longer than just one or two songs. So wouldn't it be good to create an event where it was more about the singers, and where singers could actually get up, and where singers could actually have an opportunity to sing more than just one or two songs? So that's kind of where the idea was born. And then I saw an ad. I saw someone was looking for somebody to host an open mic at a new venue. And I went along to speak to the manager of the venue. And I said, how about we make it a jazz open mic? How would you feel about that? And he said, well, I absolutely love jazz, so why not? So that's how the event was born. And we started off just doing like one event just as a test, and I went through so much anxiety, so much fear, so much stress just trying to organize that first event. And it was I had to really push through with the way I was feeling, and It was really winging it, because I'd never hosted an event, even though I host a radio show. I'm a podcast host now too. I'd never hosted an event like that before. And so I had to overcome quite a lot of fear and quite a lot of nerves. And it was a difficult and uncomfortable place to be. In fact, it was extremely uncomfortable. I really did feel very vulnerable, very exposed, and just, you know, the thought of, you know, you something is born in your mind, and you know, the pieces start coming together. And honestly, it was almost like a sickness to my stomach of what I was trying to do and how afraid I was of doing it. I just really had that fear of it not working. And I think sometimes we fear the way we're going to appear to others as well. You know, like, it's hard to imagine that you could fail. But I think because I've read a lot of books about people in business who've been successful in business, one of the things that I noticed, and one of the things that was reiterated to me many times, is that the most successful people are the people that have tried and failed over and over and over again. So I made myself go through that. And that first event was a success. It was a wonderful event. I really enjoyed it. All the people there really enjoyed it. And once I'd sort of got over everything, you know, the possibility of it going wrong, because I talked it through with one of my coaches. I work with coaches and mentors. I think it's a really good idea when you're trying to better yourself to work with somebody that can kind of keep you accountable and that you can talk stuff through with. And I talked it through with one of my coaches, and we explored all the different things that could go wrong. So there was things like, you know, the sound for one. I wasn't particularly experienced with doing sound for an event, so I decided on that occasion that I was going to hire somebody to do the sound for me, which was a good idea really, because I did end up doing the sound myself after that. But on that first event, I just wanted, you know, that to be taken off my shoulders whilst I navigated all the other things that I had to do. Obviously, communicating with all the different musicians, making sure that everybody turned up, creating the set list, making sure everything ran smoothly, promoting the event, creating the flyers, and creating an ad for the radio as well. There were so many steps that I had to take towards that. So it was a good thing to just take one part of that away. And so, yeah, having talked it through and worked out that the worst possible scenario could be, and then turning up and actually got to enjoy it, because it went well, it went smoothly. And yeah, I actually loved doing it. And then I had a little bit of a break from doing it because it was just a one-off, the first one. And then I was due to start doing it every single week, but the venue was going through a refurbishment, so they closed it for a month or so. So you'd think having done it once, it would be easy, but actually that break in between was tough because I relaxed for a bit and then I realised that I was going to have to go back and do it again. And I went through all the anxiety, like all the stomach lurching fear. I went through it all over again. And then I'd made the event weekly. It ran weekly through the summer. And again, there was like a lot of stress involved with doing it every week because every week I was having to find musicians and sometimes I wouldn't have a bass player and it felt like the worst possible thing in the world would be to be running a jam with no bass player. And it was okay. We did it without the bass player. It was fine. But it would have been better perhaps with a bass player, but we got through it and we did it anyway. And some nights were busy, some nights were dead. It was just a journey that I had to go through and that I had to go on. And by the end of the summer, I was burnt out from doing it every week. It was quite a lot of work and I had to have a little break from it. But I'm so glad I did that. I'm so glad I tried it. And it just goes to show I had no experience in hosting a jazz event. I had run a couple events in the past before, but every time I'd run an event, I decided that it was quite a lot of work and quite stressful and that running events wasn't for me. And yet I still took that on. It was just something, it wasn't just that it was something that I wanted to do. It was something that was going to make me money as an artist, as a musician, that I felt was going to be useful for me. And it was useful. For now, the events are on hold because I'm looking for a new venue. But I've had that experience now. And I feel that when I go to do it again, I'm not going to go through the same level of fear and anxiety and, you know, to the point of actual physical sickness, you know. And so when I reflect back on last year, and I must have run about 10, 12 events or something, it's with pride now. I look back and I think, wow, I went through all that fear and yet I achieved something there. And not only did I achieve something for myself, but I brought people together who enjoyed having the opportunity to come and play and practice and in an environment that was perhaps less stressful than some other jams that I've been to, and was like a supportive, nurturing thing that we did for the community. And I feel good about that. I feel wonderful that I brought people together. And then there's been another little bonus that's come from that, which is that I've got to know a lot of musicians now. I've got to practice my jazz singing as well, on a regular basis, which has been wonderful because I spent 3 years going to a jazz class in Bristol on Tuesday evenings. Big up Bristol Jazz Collective. They run sessions on a Tuesday evening. If you want to find out about them, just let me know and I'll put you in touch. And It was a great opportunity because I'd learnt so many jazz songs. It was a great opportunity for me to be actually out there in a live environment and actually practicing in a supportive place. It didn't have to be polished. It didn't have to be perfect. It just was an opportunity for me to work out, oh, okay, maybe that song's not in the right key for me. Maybe I need to change that into a different key. And it kind of got me confident of because I do sometimes find it hard to feel confident talking to musicians and explaining what I want, what I need. But in that scenario, I had to say, oh, actually, can we have it at this speed? And can we have it in this key? And then negotiate, oh, are we going to play the last eight bars as an intro? And all of those things that you can't learn unless you've had some practice. And I wasn't ready to put a band together, because at the beginning of the year, I was like, I'm going to put a jazz band together. But I can see now that I wasn't quite ready to have that jazz band together. I needed that experience. I needed that regular experience of being out in a live setting, just practicing. So that was a wonderful win as well. And now I'm at the place where I know lots of different musicians. So when I'm ready to put my jazz band together, I've got quite a few people that I can call on and ask if they want to be involved. So that is a wonderful thing, because at the beginning of last year, my goal was by the end of the year, have my band together. And I didn't manage that. And that's okay. I managed to do lots of things, get to know lots of musicians. I got to practice my solo stuff as well. That was another thing I did last year, was I got out there and I practiced my solo music and worked with two different guitarists, wrote lots of songs, and I'm closer. So I'm a lot closer to having that band together. I know roughly which musicians I'm going to use. I'm looking at the moment at finding a studio space. And I've developed more confidence as well. And it's not just about singing. I mean, I'm always trying to improve my singing. I don't always feel like I'm the best singer in the world, but I'm always working on improving and getting better. And I do feel that I've improved significantly. And but it's also about the stagecraft as well, as sort of standing up on stage and having a presence and having a connection with the audience and having a connection with the music and the songs as well is really important to me. Because a performance is more than just hitting the notes. It's about telling the story behind the song. It's drawing on the emotions that you felt when writing the song, or when the writer of the song was writing the song, and bringing those emotions and those feelings alive so that the audience really feels something. Another thing that happened last year was I went through quite a process, because I was holding back. I've been releasing, I started producing music I started learning to produce music in, it was probably 2014 when I went to music college. I went to DBS Music in Bristol. Big up to DBS, wonderful place to study. And I had to sadly drop out of that course because I had severe health problems at the time. I couldn't walk, and I was really struggling. And interestingly, it did get me into doing vocal production. So even though I wasn't, you know, sort of fully formed music producer, I still felt confident doing vocal production. So that was something that I started doing then and carried through with me into my musical journey, even though I was working with other producers. But in the last, where are we now? We're 2026, gosh. So in 2024, I released my first self-produced single. And I released two singles in quick succession, in fact. And the idea was, and I had this third song cooking, it was ready to go. And my plan was to release a song every 3 months and to keep writing and being prolific with my music. But I went through a profound personal situation And it was just really difficult for me after the release of my second song, because I went into complete burnout, sort of mental, physical burnout, where, you know, I got to the point, and it was about September 2024, I got to the point where I was feeling, I need a week off. In fact, I need 2 weeks off. And then after 2 weeks, I suddenly realized that there was more going on than just needing a holiday. And it was a difficult, difficult thing to go through. But because what I was experiencing, and I'm going to be frank here, was that I was finding it difficult to go into the studio on my own. I was finding it lonely and challenging to be there. And there was a lot of association in my mind of sitting on my own and going through pain, physical pain, but also grief as well. And I was finding that I was tormented by sitting on my own in front of the computer, trying to make music alone. And I realized something profound, which was that I wasn't making music to sit there on my own and be on my own. I was making music to connect with other people. And making music for me was more about connection. It wasn't, I was trying to carry too much. I was trying to be like, I'm this singer, I'm this producer, and I release my own music and promote my own music and make my own videos. And I was just trying to do it all. And it was just too much. It had become overwhelming. And I realized that I needed to do things differently. And it was the same with the radio show too. I was trying to run the radio show on my own as well. And I realized that just being in the radio studio on my own was not fun. I wasn't enjoying being on my own at all. So I spoke to the radio station manager and I said, can I have a team, please? So hence it grew into a team, which I love. I absolutely love being and part of a team and contributing to a team. And for me, that makes doing the show more fun because there's always people there to bounce off. And but it was the same with my music. I realized that I needed more collaboration. So I started actively seeking a band. And my rationale was perhaps it's too much of a massive task to try to put a band together right now. Perhaps I just need to find one musician that I can work with for now. And so hence I went on a journey to find a guitarist and booked a couple of gigs. I found a guitarist. We went through an intense phase of just practicing a lot together, preparing for these gigs, and we got there. And then I started getting out there and performing live and doing gigs. I did we did a gig at Cafe Kino, and I performed on the John Sebastian Lightship as well. And there was other gigs. It was there was the Bristol Harbour Festival. There was quite a few different things that came up, and it was a wonderful process just being with somebody else and again feeling that fear, feeling like I was winging it, feeling like maybe I wasn't ready for stuff, but then getting out there and performing in front of crowds. And it is difficult being because I am actually, believe it or not, I'm a naturally shy person, and so I've had to learn how to be outgoing. I've had to learn how to connect with people. I've had to learn there's just lots of depths to this. There's so much that you don't know that you have to do until you start doing it, and then you try doing it, and then you realise how much there is to it. Because, you know, being a music artist means having a social presence and learning how to, these days, learning how to create content as well. And going into that mindset of like, I have to create content today, and then just not feeling like you're ready to be visible. There's so many layers to it. But getting out there and just, again, just practicing, just being out there in front of people and allowing myself to be seen, allowing myself to feel safe to be seen as well. And knowing that there might be criticism as well. And just trusting that I have got enough self-love that I'm going to be able to cope with the criticism when it comes. So it is scary to show up. It is actually scary. And sometimes I feel like I am just winging it through life, that I'm just doing things because I've held myself back for so long from doing the things that I knew I always wanted to do because I was scared of how I was going to look and being judged and being out there, being seen. It just can be quite a scary place to be. And last year, you know, I'd got into a flow and I was working with one guitarist and then he dropped the bomb. He was, just as I started to get comfortable, he dropped the bomb that he was moving to Poland. And yeah, we had one final gig together at the Greed Room and that was a wonderful gig. It was an event organised by Ujima's Ripton Souls Liberation. Big up to Ripton, and a wonderful evening. And that was our final hurrah. And then I was on my own again. I had to find another guitarist. And luckily, I managed to find a good one. I did a gig in October with Paul Anders. And since then, Paul and I have been writing songs together, which has been a wonderful experience, actually, because it's quite rare to find somebody who is able to imagine a song. So if I just bring, like, my song, doesn't always have music behind it. It would just be a melody, a rhythmic idea with a melody sometimes. Or sometimes it will be something that I've written to something that I've started producing but then got stuck with. And I will bring those songs to Paul and then he will go, okay, I can imagine this guitar part and then this bass part and then this keyboard part. And, you know, we'll just sort of write it with a drum loop. And it's a rarity, to be honest, that, well, in my world, I haven't found anyone before who can do that. You know, I've worked with producers and it's often been the music first. And then I write the song to the music. I've never had it the other way around. And so I believe it's quite a skill. So I feel like I've fallen on my feet here. So when I met Paul and we got together and we started playing together, you know, there was, again, it was like building a new relationship with somebody new. It was a very nervous place to be. It was a very vulnerable place to be. And so, you know, it was interesting. It was an interesting time of getting to know somebody new, seeing how we gelled together. And, you know, because it's personalities as well. It's not always just about how well you play together. It's like, how do you get on as people, you know? And then going out and it was different situation because when I worked with Lip Kozlowski, the first guitarist I worked with last year, he used to use a loop pedal, so that would keep us in time. But Paul didn't have a looper, so it was just me and him. And it was like, you know, how do we get that timing? How do we get it to work? So yeah, it was interesting, and it was. I wouldn't change anything, even though things were difficult at times last year. I definitely wouldn't change anything because even though I went through a lot of pain, I also went through a lot of growth. And at the end of last year, I decided it was time to release the song that I'd held back for probably, well, I was planning to release it in November 2024. So it was delayed by over a year. So I will talk more about that in the next segment. And yeah, I hope this has been useful. And I hope you've enjoyed listening so far. But I will see you very shortly. Stay tuned to the Persona Power podcast on Ujiba Radio 98 FM.
Keeping you informed. The BBC News, brought to you by Ujima Radio.
BBC News for Bristol. Royal Mail has apologised after disruption to postal deliveries in South Gloucestershire. Some residents in and around Yate have been going for weeks without letters and cards being delivered, only for piles of post to arrive all at once. The local MP is asking for the problem to be resolved and has contacted the regulator Ofcom, which says it will hold the company to account. These people in Yate have told us how it's affected them.
We have had no post for 2 or 3 weeks. Letters and cards have not been coming through the letterbox. You just got to ring the hospital if you're expecting an appointment and hope that you get a reply.
I had a hospital appointment, right? And they had to send me out some stuff that I had to drink. Fine. It came 3 weeks after. So, of course, I couldn't have the x-ray. I couldn't take the stuff that I was supposed to take. And then I had to wait then another 6 months for an appointment.
Children's social care workers in Bath and North East Somerset could go on strike as a result of pay changes. Team managers and deputy team managers in children's social care were sent ballot papers last week by trade union Unison after they were put on the same pay grade as some of the staff that they manage. The council says it's not a straightforward issue and there are many factors to consider. The ballots will close on the 4th of February. An art installation inspired by the sun has gone on display at a Bristol swimming pool. The sculpture, created by artist Luke Jerram, has been suspended in Jubilee Pool in Knowle and will help raise money for the venue. Sport, and in football, Bristol City women face a huge test in the fifth round of the FA Cup. They take on Arsenal away on Sunday, February the 22nd, and the men will have a tough game this evening against Ipswich. Full match commentary on BBC Radio Bristol. That's the latest. You're up to date.
The BBC News, brought to you by Ujima Radio.
You're listening to the Persona Power podcast with Mary Miner
and Meg Cox. This is a podcast about identity, personal style,
also self-care and mental well-being as armour for both online and offline life.
Tune in on Tuesdays from 1 to 2 p.m. on Ujima Radio 98 FM.
Welcome back to the Persona Power podcast with me, Mary Miner. I'm on my own today because Meg is unwell, so I'm winging it somewhat, but enjoying it actually, which is a good thing to say, because when I started the show, I thought, right, I don't know how this is going to go. I'm just going to do it and I'm going to see how it feels. And if it doesn't feel good, if it's not good enough, then maybe I won't play it, and that's okay. But anyway, so far, so good. I've managed to talk. I've managed to talk for half an hour so far. So let's keep it rolling. So in the last segment, I talked about how sometimes we have to just wing it through life. And sometimes we just have to go for what we want to go for. And feel all the fear of doing it and just go for it anyway, even though we know we might fail or we fear we might fail. I mean, what is failure anyway? It's a perception thing, isn't it? Because when we think about what is failure, it is subjective, isn't it? Because for every time you go through something and you don't get the result that you imagined, you still achieve something. You've still learned something. So they say, I don't know who they are. I've just read so many books, you know, I can't quote anyone specifically, but it is a common thing that said that failure paves the way to success. And I think it's true. I think if we hide away and we hide our light, then we don't necessarily get anywhere. You know, we don't learn anything. We don't change. We don't grow. Growth is uncomfortable. Growth is scary. But unless we're willing to go through the discomfort, we don't necessarily get anywhere. And in the last segment, I talked about the jazz event that I launched last year and how much fear and anxiety I went through around that. And I talked about the vulnerability of working with new musicians and having them come and go. And the learning process of actually getting out there and performing more and being on stage and getting it wrong, like figuring out if I'm singing in the right key and finding out how to connect with the audience, how to convey a song, how to bring a song or the story within a song to life. And I brought it kind of up to the point where I released a song. So I released a single on Christmas Day, and I'd been holding it back for well over a year because it just didn't feel like the timing was right. The song was coming from a very vulnerable place because I had written the song about my grandmother that I will never get to meet because she's since passed away, and who I only found out about after my dad had passed away. And it was that finding out that she was a singer like me. She was a singer in the 1940s. Well, she was a singer her whole life. But in the 1940s, she was out in Canada and she was performing on the radio every week. And so that lineage, that musical lineage, had been passed down, even though she was separated from my dad when he was just a week old. But my dad was musical anyway, without even knowing about her musicality. He was musical anyway. I wonder if she was singing whilst he was in the womb, and maybe that's how it was passed down. I have no idea, but she played the piano as well. She played the accordion, I found out as well. And my dad was musical. He sang, he played the flute, he played the guitar, and he sang, he played the piano as well. He wrote songs. And so I'd really picked up musicality from my father growing up. He was often playing it where he was in a band, and so he was often playing gigs in London, and we'd go along, you know, he'd be doing a festival and we'd go along to the festival and go and support him and enjoy the music. And so it was, this song was born after I heard about my grandmother and heard that she was a singer, because it was this moment of grief. I learned about it when I was standing by the sea in a place called Rockaway in New York. And in that moment, it was just this rushing feeling of connection and grief all at once, of like, wow. I was sent photos of her and I was learning about who she was, not just a name anymore. It was like, this was a real person with passions that were like mine. And so after learning that and coming back home, I had a dream, and in the dream she came and she was singing to me in the dream. And I had been working on a track and I didn't quite have any lyrics for it yet. But when I woke up that day, I suddenly had these lyrics that I wrote down, and it turned into this song called The Lonely Part of Me, which is about her singing to me and how that was, even though it was a very emotional experience, it was also a very healing experience. So I had a lot of emotion wrapped up in this song, and there was a lot of grief wrapped up in this song. And so it was a tender place that it was coming from, and it was just hard for me to let go of because I just wanted it to be perfect. I just wanted it to be like, you know, a sensational moment for me. You know, I fantasized about it in some ways. I was like, oh wow, this could be the song that breaks me as an artist and all of this stuff. But because it was like, there was almost too much emotion and too much wrapped up in that, and it was just, to let go of that was so hard. And because I waited so long, you know, it gave me an opportunity to create more content around the song. So I created a video. I've got two videos, in fact. And I had the photo shoot done like a year ago, you know, over a year ago. And I was holding it all back, you know. And so finally letting this song go and letting this song be out there in the world was just difficult. I had to let go of my need for it to be perfect, because what I was finding is, I explained earlier when I was talking that after my dad died, I used to find it really hard to just sit in the studio, my home studio. I used to find it really hard to sit there on my own and do any music. I was creatively blocked. I was completely blocked. And I just found it really, really difficult to sit there and do anything. And yeah, it was an interesting time. It was like, I would listen to the song and I would try to hear what needed to be done to finish the song. And like, I could hear it, but I couldn't. It was like my brain did not want to interpret this information signals that it was receiving, because it was as if it just was shut down. It just didn't want to deal with it. It just didn't want to cope with it. And I had to accept that. I had to accept that I couldn't make the song any better. I did add some harmonies. That's one thing I did do, but it was quite a long way down the line, and it was because somebody else had listened to it and suggested harmonies, and I thought, oh okay, yeah, let's do some harmonies. And I did. And my previous two songs I'd mixed myself with help, and this song I couldn't mix it. It was just, I knew that I couldn't sit with it for that long, and so I sent it off to someone else to mix and just let it go. And then when I got the mix back, I was still holding it back. I sat on it so long, honestly. And in the end, I just thought, okay, this song is going to have to be, at some point, we have to accept that something's finished or completed in its own way. And that's what I had to do with this song. I had to just say, okay, I can't do any more on this song. As much as I want to do more, I want to perfect it, I can't do more, because I'm only me. I'm a human. I'm not superhuman. I just have to do what I can. And so it was a commitment to release the song. And so, yeah, once I'd committed to doing it, I then had to find the energy to promote it. And then I got ill. Which is typical. And then I had another profound realization. I realized that actually this wasn't about releasing a song. It wasn't just about releasing a song. It was about releasing all the emotions. It was about releasing the grief. It was about letting go of all the emotional stuff that I'd been holding on to. And I was like, oh wow. The penny dropped. I was like, this is actually an emotional release. It's not just emotional because the song's emotional, but it is an emotional release for me on a personal level. And with that realization, like all my expectations of it being wonderful and perfect and my big vision, it all just softened. And I was like, okay, this is not meant to be my big breakthrough moment. This is a stepping stone towards where I want to be. And with that realization, there was just a beautiful letting go. So We just need to go to a break now, but stay tuned to the Persona Power podcast, and I'll be back with you very soon. Keep it locked to Ujima 98 FM.
Yo, check this out. Every Tuesday night from 8 till 10 on Ujima Radio, the Word Life Show, hosted by the one and only Crazy, bringing you the latest and freshest sounds of the Bristol underground. So if you want to jam with some of the hottest UK hip-hop, grime, garage and R&B, then join us for the Word Life Show every Tuesday, 8pm to 10pm on Ujima Radio 98 FM.
Have the grey days been getting you down? Worry not! We're bringing some colour to the streets of Bristol with our new Ashanti Empress collection. We've got dungarees, festival tracksuits, colourful cords and more in big, bold African print that will bring some sunshine to your days. All our clothing is ethically created in Ghana. Find out more and shop the new collection at ashantiempress.com.
Every family is a team, and every player has a role. Mums and dads, siblings, grandparents, aunts and uncles, and even that one cousin who can't tell a foul from offside, but who always remembers your birthday. Even if you're far away, you can still score for your team. Send them money with Western Union. Cash pickup in minutes. Check it out at westernunion.com.
You see the hurricane, what a destruction. What a thing pan with beautiful island. Heartbreaking, so much devastation. Now it's time to help the Jamaican. Donate. Make a donation, but only to a trustworthy organization. Donate. Be a humanitarian. Any little thing there, show appreciation. Donate anything that you can. You haven't got anything, then overstand. Just send some positive vibration for the healing of the Jamaican land. Chuck, donate doesn't have to be monetary. Could be goods or clothes, even sanitary batteries, bedding, anything that is necessary. Water, food item that's dietary. Support. Help the recovery. Any little thing helped. That's the policy. Could take years. That's the reality. But it will return to normality. Donate to a reputable source. Don't send it to just anybody, of course. Don't send it on a random post. Got to reach the people who need it the most. Support them in their time of need. Place of a rebuild, mouth of a feed. Very satisfying when you do a good deed. If we are put together, then we must succeed. The whole world Jamaica inspire. Reggae music set the world on fire. Now a little bit of assistance they require. Please and thanks. Yes, I am. Maccabee says, support Jamaica.
Nation boss live and legal in the city, you understand? I may say, pre some things where people don't mean at the past. Knock like some perfect, everybody have them flaws. Long before the COVID thing, then offer them a wear a mask, yeah. OJ, my radio station. Solid, solid energy forever, man. We say solidarity.
Hi, I'm Mary Miner.
And I'm Meg Cox.
And you're listening to the Persona Power podcast
on Ujima Radio 98 FM.
Welcome back to the Persona Power podcast with me, Mary Miner. Meg is not with me today because she's not well today, bless her. So I am winging it. So that's been my loose topic for today, is winging it. I am just going for it, and I didn't have a topic planned to talk about on my own, so therefore I thought I would talk about my year, last year, the things that I've done, the things that I've achieved, the fears, the anxieties, the difficulties that I faced and that I went through and got through, and how that has made me grow as a person. I launched a jazz event last year. I ran about 12 events, all of them successful in their own way. You know, they weren't always well attended. Sometimes they were, sometimes less so, but they were always attended, and that's a win. I got to practice my singing. I launched myself as a solo artist as well. I was getting out there with different guitarists and playing my solo songs and doing gigs and being seen, allowing myself to be seen, allowing myself to be vulnerable enough to share my story as well. Being seen on social media, you know, talking about my stories and my vulnerabilities. I've been running this show. We also launched this podcast last year, and this podcast had sort of come about from, you know, a little seed of an idea of something I wanted to do for quite some time. And then I met Meg a couple of years ago, and Meg and I connected, and we realized that we had a lot in common. So we love talking about creative identity. We love talking about fashion. We love talking about mental health and well-being. We talk about things like having ADHD. we talk about our process as creatives, as artists, quite a lot. So I thought it was apt today to talk about my creative process. And I'm still feeling very reflective because it is still January. It's we're only 2 weeks into January today. It's the 14th as I'm recording this. And, you know, so there's been a lot of reflection going on my part of everything that I've done in the last year, everything that I've achieved, and the obstacles that I've been through and the fears that I've faced and got through. And I genuinely feel that I've grown more in the last 12 months than I've ever grown in my life, because I made myself get out there and do the things that felt scary and found workarounds. When things weren't working one way, I was like, okay, that's not working. Let's try it this way. So, for example, I was struggling of working on my own in the studio, not just in my home studio, but in the radio studio as well. So at home, I just thought, well, I'm blocked. I can't do this right now. So I need to work with other people. So I actively went out and sought musicians that I could work with. I've been writing songs with people, and I still write on my own a bit as well. And having just released my single, I now feel freed up as well to, I was just explaining in the last segment how I've been so blocked from releasing the single, and I was creatively blocked as well, and I was finding it difficult to finish productions. And somehow my inspiration has returned with the releasing of this song. It's like it's performed this kind of magic of being able and willing to let it go. It has been, yeah, just transformative in the sense that I feel excited about making music again. I've accepted that the song is not necessarily my best piece of work. I love the song. I don't think it was my best production, but it doesn't matter. It was a process. It was a stepping stone. It's been part of the journey forwards. And so it's all valid. It all counts. It's all important. It's all the steps that, you know, when we're willing to take those steps to move forwards, it can be transformative. And in the radio studio, I was struggling with being there on my own. I'd be okay for the first 45 minutes, and then I'd realise that I wasn't feeling good. I was feeling lonely and depressed. And so, you know, I said to the station manager, I need a team. So it was about finding new solutions. It was about finding different ways of working that could free me up. And I think life isn't just a perfect trajectory of just going from A to B. Life is about experimenting. Life is about feeling the fear and going for it anyway, which is what's happening today. I turned up this morning. I realized that Meg wasn't going to be here because she wasn't well. And I thought, well, what do I do? Do I just abandon the podcast this week? Do we just repeat another episode? Or do I just give it a go? Do I just give it a try? See how it feels? See how I get on? It feels like a long time to be talking just on my own. But it turns out that actually I do have quite a lot to say. So I think that my biggest learning point of the last year and today is that we don't necessarily get through anything if we just give up and stagnate. We pushing through for new solutions, pushing for new ways of doing things, being willing to try different things. That's how we grow. That's how we learn. And that's how we become who we are. And in all honesty, I'm proud of myself for all I've achieved in the last year. And this year, my plan is to actually get my band together, which I had planned to do last year and didn't quite achieve, but that's okay. It doesn't have to be a perfect path all the way through life. You know, I don't even like making plans, if I'm honest, because plans always go wrong anyway. And I do think that it is about enjoying the process as well. You know, just enjoying where you are and trying to make magic moments out of every day, and enjoying like moments of connection and enjoying moments of achievement, and not always for everything having to be like this perfect, beautiful, you know, wonderful world that we're all supposed to be able to achieve. But realistically, can we? So, you know, I just want to acknowledge that I've done what I've done last year, that I feel that I have grown so much as a person, and that I feel, yeah, just super proud. And I'm really proud of this podcast too. It's, again, it feels imperfect and unpolished, but it's like, you know, I was thinking about doing the podcast. The program manager at Ujima got wind of the plan and said, well, would you like to do it on the station? And Meg and I said, okay, let's do it. This is a really good opportunity to try it. And so we've been doing it since, well, I can't remember if we started it in October, September, it was probably September, August, September last year, we started doing it. And I think the first one we recorded, we decided we weren't going to play. It just didn't feel right. It wasn't quite the standard that I wanted, you know, and that's okay. But we have been showing up. And I think that is part of what makes us grow as well, is just being willing to be consistent, even though you might not have things perfect. Being willing to wing it, being willing to just turn up and just give it a try, because we learn by doing. We don't learn by hiding away from the things that scare us. It's really good to have that warrior energy and step up and embrace the things that scare you, face them, and just be like, right, I'm going to take this on. I can do it. I can do it. So I hope that this has inspired you today. I hope that there's some takeaways from today. If you would like to share any takeaways, you can get in touch with me. I am on Instagram and TikTok at Miss_Mary_Minor, which is spelled MINA. And I'm also on YouTube at Mary Minor Music. And I am also on Facebook, Mary Minor. I have my personal page. I have my music page as well. They're both called Mary Minor, which is really confusing. But you'll find me one way or another. I'm out there. I'm on socials. So come and find me and give me any feedback, any suggestions that you have for the podcast. I'd love to hear from you. And Meg will be back next week, I hope. Hopefully she'll be better. And until then, have a wonderful week. Thank you so much for listening. And join us next week for the Persona Power Podcast. Sending you lots of love, and over and out.
Hi, this is Azula Bandit, and you are listening to Ujima Radio 98 FM.
Yeah, I've been a stupid girl. 4 days away, in his arms I invest. He won't take my heart, but he'll take off my dress. Excuses rehearsed, I am blue, I am red. Looking for love. I'ma stay doing what I do best.
Flip a switch on a f***ing night. Come alive in the night time. In a club sipping in a seat. Tell him I'm dead if he calling me. Flip a switch on a f***ing night. A fairy sound. Because that line, black heels, black shades, that my energy. Tell him I'm dead if he calling me.
calling me. You're a very silly man. Block, block, mute, chat, new Addy in the sack, new dicks on tap. Got best case, worst case, plan of attack. Got bitches if they see you in the street, you're getting slapped. Don't threaten me or talk to me ever.